begin chapter 5, Revelation 5, and I want to bring to our attention again, this is a vision. As we study this, while we see that this is a vision. And I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book, written within and without, on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Now his vision goes straight to this one that he saw that was worthy to open the book. No one else is worth looking to at this time. But now we see him in his first form. Now this is a little hard to understand, because the one that sat upon the throne in chapter 4 is the same one that opens the book. This is his throne. This is not the Father's throne. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's throne. I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So we see here him as the judge, the one who has the authority to judge. Now this is what we mean by the right hand. The right hand, I know there's some left-handed people, I don't know whether we have any here or not, but we don't have very many in the Bible. Right hand speaks of power, speaks of authority in the scriptures. And so the one that is on the throne, he represents all the deity of God. He is seen on the throne as the everlasting Father. Because of his death, because he gave himself for us, he can have this place for his period of time, which we are called the day of the Lord. And so he's sitting on the throne. But he has a book, or a scroll, might be a better rendering, written all over. There's not a space on this scroll that there is not some writing. It's full. This book, this scroll, let's talk about it for a minute. Refer back to chapter 4, verse 1. He said, come up hither and I'll show you the things that must come hereafter. So at this point, now later on we'll see this scroll a little differently, but at this point, this scroll is seen of the things which shall come hereafter. Hereafter what? Hereafter the overcomers are taken to heaven. Then he saw, and I saw a strong angel. A seal with 7 seals. I want to talk about that. This is a sealed book. In other words, no one has really fully understood. We read the book of Revelation, we see the seals open. This is going to be so much worse than what our mind, our human minds, earthly minds could grasp, that we don't really see the fullness of it until they are open. But these are sealed with 7 seals. In other words, they've been kept silent until this time. Now the contents of this book will be revealed in chapter 6, but not yet. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now this strong angel is no doubt the 24 elders. The word strong comes from a Greek word that means great. In Hebrews 12, I think it's 34, is translated via valiant men, valiant people, strong people. But this strong messenger is one of those elders. In chapter 10, look up chapter 10, 1, Revelation 10, 1. Mary, look up Revelation 18, 21. Sharon, Revelation 21:8. Now, let's look at this strong one, and that's proclaiming with a loud voice. All right, Revelation 10:1.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire.
Now, these are identified with this one, having the same strength. Then in Revelation 18:21.
And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all.
That mighty is the same words we have for strong angel. It's identified with judgment there. This, without doubt, though, this strong angel is not an angelic being. And the reason, let me tell you, anyway, we don't have to read all of them. But the reason it can't be an angelic being, this is what I'm saying, is because an angelic being has no authority to pour out judgment. Angelic being simply does what is told. It obeys orders. It doesn't need to understand anything. And so here this one saw the worthiness of someone to come and open the seals. So the cry here, you see, who is worthy to open the book or the scroll to loose the seals thereof? Now, it isn't that this mighty one didn't know who was able, but I think we see the same purpose in this as we see in the purpose of dispensations. Remember we talked about dispensations? Why did God give an arrangement of ages? So that everybody could to know all mouths would be stopped and all the world would become guilty before God. And in every age, God gave men different opportunities to prove that he was worthy of God. In every age, man failed, didn't he, of being worthy of God. So the thought that we have here is not that the strong one didn't know, but the strong one has given everybody, everything, an opportunity, another chance to prove that he was worthy. And no one could do it. And so no man in heaven or earth or under the earth or in the earth or under the earth was able to open the book. But you see, we have the same identification, that's what I'm saying. So no man, no human in heaven, already taken up, already glorified even, or on the earth, or in Hades, or Sheol, no matter where this person is, three places mentioned here, none of them could do this, had the ability because of sin, because they just weren't good enough. There was only one. But not only they couldn't open it, they couldn't even look. Now remember, some of this was written on the outside. And it doesn't say look therein, it says look thereon, doesn't it? And to read the book, be able to read this book, to study it. None of these. That word able here is an interesting word in the Greek. It's dunamai, D-U-N-A-M-I, dunamai. And the word dunamai has a thought of having power, able by their own resources. It has a thought of a creative resource, like dynamite or a dynamo that creates its own dunamai, creates its own source of ability. But no one had that. And then John is speaking in verse 4 and said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. No one could do this. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, notice this elder knew the answer, didn't he? So, back earlier, it wasn't the fact that he didn't know the answer. Because in verse 5 proves that he did know the answer. He said unto John, don't weep, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah's lion. Judah's strength. Judah's power. Judah's king. Oh, it was, he's the one. And then we see in the root of David, just has more of his kingly life. 2 Samuel 7 shows forth his, the Davidic covenant, how that he would be reigned in on the throne of David. It's this one, the powerful one, the reigning one of Judah. This one hath, notice the past tense in that verse, hath already, when on the cross, prevailed to open the book. Because he was slain, he will reign. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. Now he'll be crowned with a diadem. He's the one who is able, and no one else, to loosen the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Oh, I thought it was a lion. But it was a lion, wasn't it? But now we see him in a different way. We see the same one as a lamb. And the word lamb here comes from a Greek word of Arnon, A-R-N-I-O-N, Arnon. And the word means a small lamb, a lambkin, a young lamb, see, a little lamb, as it had been slain. Now the phrase had been slain would put it in a past tense, but it isn't in a past tense. In the Greek, it's in a passive perfect participle. Now, the better rendering of that would be having been slain, and the perfect shows, well, it indicates that which is past will continue on, it will last, it will not end, is the thought of this being in the past perfect. We have one not continuously slain, but the value of him being slain is just as great today as it was the day he was slain. His blood has not lost its power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He saves today just like he always did, and he will continue to save in the same manner even until eternity arrives. There has never, ever been only one way of salvation in any age, and that's been through the shedding of blood. How great this is, because he died, because of his death, as a Lamb of God, having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Now, horns in Scripture always speak of power. We've had that before. Seven is a number of completion or perfection. And so he has complete power. The eyes speak of discernment, or ability to know, or the insight, ability to have knowledge, complete knowledge. He knows all things. He discerns all things. This fact that he is moved by the Holy Spirit, even unto the death of the cross, we read, which are the seven spirits of God set forth into all the world. Now, this is the third time we had that phrase, isn't it? And all of them refer to the sevenfold power of God in which the Holy Spirit at this time is the agent of. Then verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, this might sound contradictory, but remember, this is a vision. The same one sitting on the throne is the same one that had took the book. But it was a lamb. It was a lamb that took the book, and not the lion. So all through here, we have the same personality that's doing this. So he came and took. It was his for the taking, and he did it. The book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, and when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb in harmony. Before, we had the elders falling down. Now the living creatures are falling down with the elders in perfect unity before the Lamb. Not before the lion, but before the Lamb, because he's the one that died. Having every one of them harps and grand golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. The word harps comes from a Greek word that means any stringed instrument. It has to be stringed. This is similar. It isn't the same word, but it's a similar word that we have in Ephesians, was it 3? I believe it is. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That word psalm there is a Greek word psalmos, which means to twitch or to twang, and cannot be used unless it's used with a stringed instrument. There's some groups of God's people who are born again, refuse to have any kind of stringed instrument in their assembly because they say it's not in the Bible. But this word harps here also has to be accompanied with stringed instrument. The golden vials, the word vials should be bowl or cup. This word could be used for a cup for drinking, or a bowl or a dish for eating. It includes a shallow dish in which you would eat food out of. Well, I think all of this speaks of something that is easy to empty. You think about it now. We have bowl full of odor, ready to be poured out. Incense. The word odor could be translated incense. Corina. Psalms 141:2. Incense. These incense represent a petition before God.
and let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
My prayer set forth of thee as incense. So we have the same thing here. This was a desire in his heart. The word here, the thought of this is kainos, is a Greek word, K-I-N-O-S, kainos. And the word here has a thought of something that is unaccustomed to. These are prayers of the saint. It isn't that of all saints. It's a special prayer. The word could you be used as prayers, I guess that's right, prayers of the saints, I guess. But this is all in unity, in unison, praise and honor. Well, verse 9, they sang a new song. The word they is all of this we eat, both of them singing in unison, is a thought that we have there. They sang a new song. The word new song doesn't mean new in as though it had never been sung, but new in form, new in quality, as contrast to things that are old. This has a special meaning. It's a special song. It's new in this respect. But they sang, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals for us, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God out of thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. So this isn't a new thought, because we sing songs about the Lamb being slain, don't we, in our songbooks. We sing songs about being redeemed. See, this isn't new in that respect. But oh, I tell you, when these seals are beginning to be opened, this is going to be the basis of all of God's judgment. The fact that Jesus Christ is a redeemer, that he's been rejected. The expression of this, that he was slain. He's the one that worthy to open, to take the book and open the seal, because he was slain and had redeemed us to God out of every, by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. These redeemed ones came from everywhere. Every nation all over the world at all times, regardless of their dialect, they are included in this plan of redemption. God is no respecter of person. He doesn't predestinate one better or higher than another. Verse 10, and I'm going to go back to some in verse 9. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on our over, is a better rendering, over the earth. Now, people say that this cannot be for 20 elders. And here's the reason they say it, so in case you run into this, is the word us is not in most Greek texts, but a fact is stated here. And hast redeemed to God by thy blood, is the way it should read, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now in verse 10, the word us is not there. And hast made unto our God king priests, and the word we there should be translated them, or they rather, I'm sorry, we, or they, is a better rendering, shall reign on the earth. But this doesn't mean that it isn't the 24 elders, even though it doesn't read the way it does in the King James Version. This summarizes and brings together all that were redeemed, and the word they has to do with redeemed ones. But it doesn't say the elders wasn't redeemed ones, not in any measure. And it intimates here that they were redeemed. The word there is autus, which is all, should be translated them, but it refers to all who have been purchased or redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Everyone comes into this category. But we have other scriptures, you see, to prove that this is the 24 elders that we're talking about. Because the fact that they had bowls of wrath, I mean bowls of prayer, bowls of incense to be poured out. They had those. They were there. Now, no one else would have bowls of incense except redeemed people. So we have other scriptures without that. And I, verse 11, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. This is simply a countless number, a number of infinity, far beyond anyone could ever name. But here, these are grouped together, the angels, the living creatures, and the elders. But notice they're not in the midst when they're grouped together. They're round about the throne, but it doesn't say that being in the midst of the throne, does it? So here we have them all together, and verse 12, they didn't sing, they said. Now there's no place in the Bible, and I guess you've heard me say this before, where angels ever sang a song. When Gabriel came to Mary, he said, didn't sing. When the angels came to the shepherds, they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill in the men. So these said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So all at this time now, even the angels realize some, at least some, of the work of the cross. Why? Well, it's been brought forth. It's been exposed, hasn't it? It's been shown there. And every creature which is in heaven, every creature. We talked about that. We read that in Romans 8, creatures. But here we have the creatures which is heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such are in the sea, all that are therein, heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever. Many agree in the fact that these creatures have to do with humans simply because they talked. And he says, well, animals can't talk, and bugs can't talk, and other creatures can't talk. And I'm inclined to agree with this fact, but I can't outrule the fact that God has control of all things, even the animals. And we read there in Romans 8 that they groan, waiting for the redemption of God's purchased possessions. All them saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever, ages upon ages upon ages upon ages. And the four living creatures simply agreed with this. Or amen and amen and amen. I agree, this is it. And the four elders fell down and worshiped him that will continue to live throughout all things. So all of these, now we see a time of worship pouring out our heart. These might not have to be in words. God understands our heart. Did you ever just worship God without saying a word? I woke up in bed many times with your heart full of praises. Sometimes it wakes you up how great this is and how much greater it will be when we see the fullness of him that filleth all in all.